Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We're reading in the book of Matthew, all of the book of Matthew. We're going through the whole thing, which lays our fundamental walk in the Lord, beginning with repentance, changing our minds, because the kingdom of the heavens is right here within reach. It's available to us right now, and we are to come and follow Jesus. That's what Jesus said in his opening statements in Matthew 4, verses 17 and 19, and it really follows all the way through. So we're learning to change our mind, think differently, and see things through Jesus' eyes. Walk with him, see how he reacts with people, how he reacts with the people he chose to be his disciples, the 12, how he reacts with the crowds, with individual people that are ailing. His disciples got to hear him in private explain things. They got to watch him in action with everybody, and pretty much most things that he did, they were right there. It'd be like going to university intensified, you know, Bible college, but a real living one with a person that does not make mistakes. And they're actually living and following God, and one person recognized it, but we can't talk. It was in Matthew. I can say that Peter said that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So that they finally saw that. Well, Peter also, in the book of Matthew, saw his transfiguration, Jesus' transfiguration along with John and James. And Moses and Elijah showed up too at that. They were brought back, and they showed up at Jesus' transfiguration. Anyway, this is Gilbert. I'm from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hey, this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
Brett watches the old guy. He's a generation even younger than my kids, and he's from Red Bluff, Redding area, and he wants to make sure that I know all these names correctly because I just moved to Red Bluff from Albuquerque. So Brett's watching out for me.
I gave him the thumbs up. Red Bluff, good job. High five.
I bought one of those 100-plus-year-old houses there, and I love the neighborhood. I love the house, and it's my half house because I lost my wife in December of last year, and I don't want to take care of a big house. We're in the book of Matthew. One thing, it warns us that when we see something, it's talking about the end times. There will be great tribulation like never before. It also says the one that endures till the end, the same shall be saved. But some things are going to happen they have never seen before. It talks about the temple being torn down and so on. But we want to know also a little bit about these last days where we will, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. So it gives strong indication the temple is going to be built again. There's going to be somebody standing in it pretending to be Jesus. He will likely be of the tribe of Judah. He'll look more like a Jew than a European, like all the he won't have long hair because he never took the vow of the Nazarite. God says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Unless he takes the vow of the Nazarite, then he's to let his hair grow, and then when his vow ended, he was to cut his hair. Well, really famous one, there's two really famous Nazarites, and who were they in the Bible?
Well, Samson. Stereo Samson.
That was stereo if I ever heard it. And when they cut his hair, what happened to him?
He lost his strength.
Yeah. And it grew back. And in his death, he killed more than in his life. Does that sound like Jesus? A look ahead to Jesus. You know, Samson had problems, so he definitely wasn't Jesus. He had some lustful life also in there, but he was a tool of God to frustrate the Philistines, to get the pressure off of the Philistines that were really controlling and mean to the Jews at that particular time.
Yeah, if you saw, you know, Samson in church today, they'd probably kick him out.
Yeah.
You know, considering how he was.
He was rowdy.
He was a rowdy guy.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah,
don't mess with that guy. I've heard about him. He killed those 1,000 people. I'm not going to mess with him.
Now, this is going to be a hard question for Andy. So I want Andy to really think about this. Who was another famous Nazarite? You talk about him all the time.
Well, maybe John.
Yeah.
John the Baptist. John the Baptizer.
Right.
I was giving Andy an easy question. He thought I was doing a trick question, thinking about somebody else who is a... Well, Paul took it for, you know, temporarily. Oh, Samuel was. Maybe that's what you were... He was going over some scripture in his mind, but Samuel, a famous one. What a wonderful mom, Hannah. I fell in love with her. You know, I could see my mom having some of the characteristics. I think we all could, but she... probably outdid them all. She was a very godly woman, raised her son and gave him to God. Have you folks out there ever thought about giving your children to God like Hannah did? Well, you're giving them to eternal life if you do. I mean, do you want them just to be cozy and comfy for you? Or like Hannah did, have you given your children to God? And that was what, I think the bar mitzvah or something in the Jewish... There was one thing in the Jewish tradition that they would do, and I can't think of the name of it right now. But anyway, I noticed it says, therefore, when you... So how are we going to know when this happens? And it says, when you see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, is added. But when you see it standing in the holy place, so the holy place is where?
In the temple.
It's the temple, so it looks like the temple's going to be rebuilt.
Right.
There's two things that identify with each other in this one little verse. One is see, and the other is the temple. And there are three rooms in the temple, but there are also three visions or ways that we can look at things. One is we could look at the outward appearance, and how does that do for us in judging character?
Doesn't work out.
It doesn't work out.
It looks good.
A lot of divorces because people can't see beyond the veil. Mm. And all they're looking at is the flesh, and they're pretty or they're handsome, and then they marry them, and that's not the man I married. That's what they say. But they see with blepo. They see with blepharitis. You know, it's an eye disease. It comes from that word blepo. And it has to do with our physical eyes and how they see. It's a disease. It's a bacterium or something. It causes blepharitis from maybe washing your hands aren't clean when you touch your eyes. It's like pink eye. I don't know if pink eye is considered that, but they call blepharitis when you have red eyes.
Right, having to do with the flesh part of a person.
Outside. But a story is in this is when they ran to the temple at Jesus's the resurrection, and John the Baptizer was faster at foot, and he got there first, and he blepoed. He just could see from the outside, and when you're in the sunlight and you look into a cave, what do you see?
Well, John the Baptizer probably wasn't there at the time.
John the Baptist, you said.
Oh, John the Baptist.
And it wasn't to the temple, it was to the tomb.
Tomb.
Besides that, we're only going to get you twice, and we'll leave you alone. Go ahead.
Leave it in there, Kevin, because now you know what I'm like and what we're like. And we're just going to leave that, and now you get to know me. But
even got the eye cut. No, I went like, and you're Kevin. Greg goes, no.
John the sons of Zebedee. John got there first. He was faster. Oh, that was a good one. And he blepoed. He looked inside, and he's standing outside in the sunlight, and the inside is dark. And how well do you think he saw?
Not very well.
Not at all.
You're blind.
So then Peter goes in, and he goes inside, and he sees, and he could actually see some things. And that word was actually theorio. And scientists use that a lot, but what happens is somebody comes along with a better theorio that gets closer to the truth. And there's a lot of theorios out there, theories out there. But it's better eyesight than not having any idea. They watched maybe a foreign object. They've watched it in the sky, and they thought, okay, we travel around the sun like this, and then they improved on that theorio, and then they found out, oops, another theorio, the sun is the center of our, and then they go, the sun is the center of the universe. Oops, now there's a galaxy, and anyway, so then John goes in all the way, and he could see ideo, and he could see, get to the bottom of it, get to the truth of it. And this is therefore when you ideo, see with spiritual eyes, you can look to the heart, getting to the heart of the matter. And don't you ladies wish that you had looked at the heart of the matter when you were picking out your husband, some of you, and or you husbands, you know, that that your wife is not at all, and maybe they end up in prison because they're so bad. Maybe one or the other, and you wish, wow, I wish I had married them. I wish I could have had ideo eyes and seen the heart of this person. And when you see the abomination, the big stinker, standing in the holy place, now you're not going to see that on the outside. He might be the most handsome dude in the world. He might be like a Charlton Heston. But he's not going to look like Charlton Heston because he's Jewish. He's going to have to fake people out. He is going to be 30 years of age, I'm guessing. But I think it's a real educated guess. It's a theorio guess. I'm going to theorio that he's going to be from Judah. And then we are to actually see, get to the heart of it, what is going to make him stink the place up. And the only place I can think about is the fruit of the Spirit. You'll know them by their fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the fruit of the Spirit? There's 9 parts to it.
Be filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. For against these things there is no law. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to God.
So be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to God.
And so we're going to know by the fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. And then the coming of the Son of Man is going to be just like in the days of Noah. And how many people were saved during that time of all the earth? It'll be like the days of Noah. So there's going to be fewer saved than perish, right?
Well, God gives you his definition of a few when regards to the whole earth. A few was 8 souls.
Yeah. I don't believe it's going to be like that, but it might be. It might be
a drastic
change.
Yeah.
A very drastic change. And goes on and says, do you want to read that? Who's got that? 37 to 41.
For just as the days of Noah, so shall be in the presence of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, till the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took all away. So shall be the presence of the Son of Man. Then two shall be in the field, one is taken along and one is left. Two grinding at the mill, one is taken along, one is left. Watch therefore, for you know not what day your Lord cometh.
Who was left on the earth? The wicked? The flood took them all away, right? The flood took them all away. And eight people were left. They were raised up above the earth, and they lived on the earth. And there's another, a likeness of that. We don't want to get into it right now. And it's later on, because we're not looking at all the other gospels, but later on in the gospel is a mate scripture to this one. And it brings in another day. It brings in the day of, well, I won't say it yet. We'll wait till we get to that particular gospel. But the wicked are taken away. Pan says along, they're taken away, but the righteous inherit the earth.
And, you know, it's another interesting piece we talked about in one of the other recordings was that proves that the righteous are the ones that stay. We read it a couple recordings ago having to do with Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, I'll give you a couple of pieces here that actually will prove through the scriptures that, you know, the things like the word rapture is not in the Bible. That's not something that people can look for as in hope. So in this case, in Psalm 37, a couple of pieces here in verse 9, or excuse me, I'll read in 37, verse 7, and I'll just read a few. Says here in verse 7, be still in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out schemes of wickedness. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not forget it. It only leads to evil doing. So verse 9, but evildoers will be cut off, but those who hope for Yahweh, they will inherit the land. So that's a point. Verse 10, yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more. You will look carefully at his place and he will not be there. But the lowly will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant peace. So again, another part where you're going to be looking for the wicked. It says here, you will look carefully at his place and he will not be there. But the person that inherits the land is the lowly. Verse 22 is another one. I'll read 21 and 22. It says, the wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. For those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off. So again, an inheritance. Those who are blessed by Yahweh will inherit the land. Verse 24. Let me see here. The footsteps of a man are established by Yahweh, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because Yahweh is the one who sustains his hand. Verse 28. For Yahweh loves justice and will not forsake his holy ones. They are kept forever, but the seed of the wicked will be cut off. See, verse 29, the righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. I'll give you two more.
What a second. Look at that, forever. Is there any breaks? Are there any breaks in that? They'll dwell in the land forever. There'll always be a righteous people on the land.
Yeah, when God says forever, he means
forever.
Forever. Eternity.
Yeah.
No end.
No break.
Right. Verse 34, hope for Yahweh and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. And verse 35 here.
Because that's the righteous are there forever. There's always going to be righteous on the earth.
And they are going to, what does it say? They will see when the wicked are cut off.
Right. But there is a hiding place, though, God has on the earth. You know, they always teach you're going to go up someplace or whatever. But we can get to that in other tapes. I do Revelation teaching, too, and we get into that pretty thoroughly. But there is, he is our hiding place. He will lead us to the rock that is higher than I. And it might be in a room while we're doing communion together, while we're fellowshipping together, and we're hidden.
I'll give you one last one here. In verse 35, it says, I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passed away, and behold, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. So again, this wicked, ruthless man, his end is that he is no more. He passes away and he's no more. And he will not be found, could not be found. So again, those who follow the Lord will inherit the land. They will, they are blessed of him. They will inherit the land. They will not be forsaken by God. Yeah, there's a lot in these few areas here that talk about that, where the righteous will remain, and the wicked are the ones that are going to get pulled away. So you look at that and you're really looking at that word harpazo, which is that word where people get that rapture, and that word is not always a good thing. In this case, like we talked about before, harpazo, like harpoon. Like a whale probably does not like to get harpooned, you know.
It's found more in an evil sense than it is a righteous sense. It's only found about a handful of times, five times, as being in a good sense.
Right.
And if you look at the trajectory of it, and Philip was caught away and found at Aztos. Every time you find it, they come back to earth. It's just a God, maybe they go up for, and then the next moment they're, what do they call it, transported.
Yeah.
God, it's harpazoed. All of a sudden, God picks him from here and sends him to another place.
I've never thought of it like that. I've always thought, you know, harpoon, like it's not a good thing, but they never, you know, get pulled up and now they're up in the sky.
Or right.
It's from here to there.
From here to there. All those cases, it has been, if you study, there's five of them out. Study that word harpazo, but there's a whole lot. They were harpazoed and taken to jail. There's a whole lot of those taken where they didn't want to be. And, but when God does it, they're just taken to another place. They needed Philip. God sent him to baptize the Ethiopian eunuch, and then he was found. And he went on his way rejoicing, but the Ethiopian eunuch went to Ethiopia, and actually you'll find a lot of Christians in Ethiopia versus any other country, right. Which is very interesting. We know some personally, but Philip was harpazoed, and he was found at Aztos.
He
didn't need a plane. He didn't need a taxi. The Lord just took him there.
Yeah. So looking at those pieces, like you would, here's a mate scripture that was in 37 that really directly corresponds to one will be taken and one will be left. And it's showing that, okay, well, here's the righteous that is going to stay.
And read that one. It said the righteous will be there forever in Psalms 37. Do you have that one? Do you remember which one that was? Again, forever being the earth,
not a couple years.
The heaven and the heaven of heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. He's given us this earth.
The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. That's verse 29.
There's always going to be a righteous person on this earth.
Forever.
Forever. That's interesting.
He says what he means, and he means what he says.
Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day the Lord is coming. And you know what? That rapture teaching breeds laziness. I don't really have to be. When I see the Lord coming, then I'm going to be really righteous. You know, it says, but it follows, therefore be on the alert. Isn't that, how does that work for you? You know, we don't know the day or the hour the Lord comes, so be on the alert. You don't know which day the Lord is coming. And then that next context, you know, if the head of the house would have known, he would have not suffered the thief to come in, and so on. This is, that rapture teaching breeds laziness. But if we're ready, if we're, he might be here tomorrow, might be here the next day. He might be here for me tomorrow. It might be my last day. Have you ever thought of that?
And well, that's the one that people let slip on by. They're always thinking about something way out there, but they don't know the day that they were born, and they don't know the day that they're going to die.
Yeah. They don't know.
Now, that's a sobering moment.
Yeah. Now, we haven't gotten into 25 yet. We've got a little bit of time to get an introduction into chapter 25. Is there anything else you guys wanted to say about this last day? Remember those blessings back in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, Makarios? Makarios is the slave whom his master finds doing when he comes, and that is doing the things of the Lord, walking in the Lord and in charge of his household, making sure God's house is operating. And I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about Jesus's family. He's the head, and we're the kids. And even the people that are supposedly leaders in it should be still look at themselves as one of the kids and be an equal to everybody, help raise people up to be better kids than they are even. Then chapter 25, 1 through 13 is the first context.
Then shall the kingdom of the heavens be likened to 10 virgins who took their own lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 wise. For the foolish, when they took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in the vessels with their own lamps. Now while the bridegroom tarried, all were asleep. But at midnight there was a cry, "Lo, the bridegroom! Come forth to meet him." Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their own lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Peradventure there will not be enough for us and you. Go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And afterward come also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he said, "Amen, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, you know not the day nor the hour."
Does it say amen, amen twice?
Amen, once.
Oh, okay. Well, we've just run out of time. We're going to continue and go through Matthew 25 when we return. Until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.